Praise the name of Jesus. Woo! All right, y'all can sit down if you want. Kind of hard to sit down after that. You know, they told me I could preach as long as I wanted today. Amen. I'd be like the guy who, what he always did was he always put a mint in his mouth when he got ready to preach. And so he would preach till the mint was gone, and then that was it. So sometimes the mint would last 15 minutes, sometimes it would last 20 minutes. And one Sunday he got up and reached in his pocket and threw the mint in his mouth, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. Middle of the afternoon, he finally just fell over. They went up and looked at him, and his wife was all worried about him and everything. He said, what's wrong? They said, we don't know what's wrong. When the paramedics came, they checked him out and said, he just completely just wore himself completely out. Said, the only thing we found was that he had stuck a button in his mouth. So I don't think I've lost any buttons. So we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Let's look at the book of 3 John. In the book of 3 John, John is writing to a good friend of his, Gaius. And he writes and he says, to thy dear friend Gaius, whom I love in truth. To my dear friends Westcliff, who I love in truth. Dear friends, I pray you may prosper in every way and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. You see, God has allowed me to be your spiritual father for these almost 12 years. And as I close out this chapter and open the next chapter, I'm looking forward to hearing the amazing things God is doing here. Amazing work that is going on because my children are walking in truth. God will send you a new pastor. God will send you a new shepherd. But it's up to you to walk in truth. This has been an amazing place as God has blessed in so many ways. Some of you are new here and you haven't been around a long time. And just to kind of let you know something. When I came here 11 and a half years ago, we were meeting over in an old plumbing building that was had been purchased. Doug had led the church from the little building over here over to that place. And almost 2 years after Doug had left, I came, and first thing they said, Pastor, I want you to know something. We have a $250,000 debt. I said, well, ain't that nice? And we're paying on it a little bit here and there. We're trying to get it paid off, but we're going to build a new building. I said, you're not going to build anything until we get that paid off. It doesn't work that way. And so we prayed. We thought we led the church through a process called Finish the Vision. As we led the church through the process of Finish the Vision, I came back to the church and I said, here's what we're going to do. The church was taking up an offering and putting it aside for the new building. Had almost $200,000 in the building fund. And yet at the same time, we were paying on the other building. And I was like, okay, so we borrowed money at 7%. And we're making 1% on this money we got in the bank. So let's propose something. Why don't we start on a Sunday in September and work our way towards that? And let's take an offering. And let's see if we can get $100,000. That's a huge thing. to get $100,000 in one day. There wasn't that many of us, about half of what we have here now. And we said, let's see if we can make it and see if we can get $100,000. Then we'll take $100,000 out of the building fund, put it with that, pay off the debt, and then start paying ourselves back. We said, that would be great. Let's see if we could do that. So we prayed. We had all-night prayer meetings. We had special times. We prayed and said, okay, God, what are you going to do? We talked about equal gifts, not equal sacrifice. Because some people could give $5 and some people could give $500. We didn't know. So we prayed. We asked God to help us raise $100,000 so we could pay off that building. So we could move forward in ministries and move forward in doing what God wanted us to do. So we took an offering September 17th of that year. And we didn't get $100,000. We got $176,000. One day. We went into a meeting with our admin committee and I asked the treasurer, I said, what do we owe on the building to pay it off? And by that time, we'd had it down to about $194,000. So we still needed $18,000 to finish off that building. We said, we can get that. That's not a big deal. So then I asked the treasurer, I said, hey, I just want to know on our general budget, because often when you take a big offering, when you do things during the general budget, it sometimes suffers because people aren't giving there. They're saving their money to give. She said, well, as of today, our budget is this much, but we are over budget, giving over budget by $18,000. We paid it off in one day. Praise God. That was God's thing. And then we started working towards this building. And I told him, I said, we're not going to borrow any money. We're not going to do that. And there was a general consensus. We're not going into debt. And so we began this building. God provided again and again and again and again. He provided people. He provided people to be the general contractor. He provided people to put up these walls. He provided people to paint. He provided people to donate those glass windows over there. They don't know those were found in Florence at a secondhand store. The lady bought the one in the middle, and she came to me and said, hey, I bought this beautiful thing of Jesus, stained glass. Do you think you could use it in the church? I said, yeah, we could use it. We went to pick it up, and the lady said, you don't want the Alpha and Omega that go on each side? And she goes, I didn't know there was one. So she bought those too. She paid almost $8,000 for those windows. And she donated them to us. We had a man that built the frames, put them in, everything. We had the people come from the stained glass place down in New Mexico so we could know about what to do with them as far as insurance. And the lady looked at him, the man came and looked at him and said, yes, those windows are built in the early 1900s. The style is everything there. We found out that they were once in Pennsylvania. They were once in Kansas and a church burned, and now they're here. I said, well, what are they worth? We're just going to kind of know for that. He said, I would estimate them at about $50,000. God thing. God provided. God provided. You know, those windows there came out of the old building because when they put those windows in, we wanted to have windows that reminded us of the past and the future of what God was going to do. God bless. God bless. We contacted Gwen's brother-in-law, and he said, hey, I got a friend who might be able to help y'all out with something. So I contacted him, and I said, what do you have that would help us with our building? He said, well, I have a friend in Denver who bought a warehouse. He wanted to clear it all out because he was using it for storage. And he said, he called me and he said, hey, I bought this warehouse and inside of it, there are some doors in there and there are some hinges in there. And he said, well, do you want them? He said, yeah, I guess so. I'll take them. So he went and got the doors, took them down to Portales, New Mexico. I contacted him and said, hey, we're building a church. We need some doors. He said, how many do you need? I said, we need about 32 doors. He said, come get them. They're free. I said, well, what do they look like? You know, sometimes when you get stuff, you know. He said, they are solid cherry wood doors imported from Italy, and they run about $3,000 to $5,000 a piece. We got 32 of them for free. Not for free, God gave them to us. And so those doors were God. We contacted the Baptist builders and said, listen, we need some help putting up some walls and doing some things and that. And they said, oh, we don't come to Colorado. It's just too far for us to come. I said, okay, do you know any other builders that might want to do this? They said, no. 2 weeks later, he called me back and said, God told us to come to Colorado. They came. They helped put these walls up. Some of our guys did too. I'm not going to tell you which one that our guys put up in case you want to move your seat somewhere else. But they put these walls up. Did that. I contacted Texas Baptist Men. I said, Texas Baptist Men, we need some cabinets built, kitchen cabinets. We need kitchen cabinets and cabinets for our Sunday school rooms and those things. And they said, we don't come to Colorado to do that. He said, I tell you what, if you'll draw out everything you need, we'll send them to us in Texas. We will build them. Then y'all can pay for shipping and bring them up here. I said, okay, we can do that. So we went through. We drew cabinets. We put everything out. Got everything. Got it. Let me tell you about the blueprints for this building. There are none. There are no blueprints to this building. They're in Coy's mind and my mind. And a yellow piece of paper. Literally. And we drew it out on a piece of a yellow notepad. And God built it. So I said, okay, you do that. We sent it to him. And he called me back and said, listen, we're going to come to Colorado and build your cabinets. So they pulled up with an 18-wheeler that had a complete cabinet shop in it. They brought it, they set it up in here, and they built every cabinet in this place for what we needed. I said, what do we need to pay you? He said, you pay us for the wood. You just provide the wood, and we'll build the cabinets. $150,000 worth of cabinets built for $8,000 worth of wood. And then we had a young man said, listen, I used to work for Dillard's and Bass Pro Shops and building their cases and building things like that. I'll help all these windows, all these doors, every one of them, the routering, the little crosses at the top. He built all that right here in this room. And then my wife and daughters stained all that stuff, over a mile of it. And Esther and Susie and others stained all those cabinets. God provided again and again and again. We got ready to do the electric. So I contacted a local guy and he said, I know, can't do it. Contact him again. He said, no, I can't do it. I could lose my license. I can't let anybody help. Can't do that. Third time, talked to him and I said, I mean, that's how God works. I said, you got someone that's close to your family that lived in my house for a while. I think you owe me. Didn't I, Madison? You didn't even know that. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And so we got the electrical done. And we were able to help with doing that. We got ready to do the heating for this place. And contacted Sons and Brothers and said, listen, we need to talk about heating. They said, oh, that's a couple of $100,000 what you need to put in your budget. And then Mike said, you know what? When our dad was sick, First Baptist Church took care of us. We'll do it at cost. And you guys can help. So in the floor underneath you, there's over 2 miles of PEX tubing that we put down twice. The first time we put it down, a storm came through and blew it all over town. It rolled up the insulation, it did everything, and it blew it all over town. And so I called Coy, we started calling guys, said, meet at the church, we got a problem. People were coming from all over town, getting out of their cars saying, hey, we found insulation. Is this yours? This whole building, we were two pieces that we never got back. Praise God. No, another God thing. God helped us in doing that. I could go on and on and on and tell you about what happened. This flooring, I had a guy that was in my church in Texas. I called him and I said, hey, I need carpet. And his dad is one of the carpet cartel guys. I don't know if you know that, but only five people in the United States control carpet. It's kind of like the mozzarella cheese guys. He said, I can get you carpet at cost. He said, we're not going to put that cheap stuff in. We'll put in the stuff I put in major malls and major motels and hotels. It'll last forever. I said, good, do that. So we got that at cost. It was again, we moved into this building 4 years ago in October. The day we moved into that building, our debt was zero. The insurance company came out and said that building is between $2.2 and $2.4 million. He said, what did you build it for? I said, we built it for $700,000. Folks, you can't hardly buy a house in West Cliff now for $700,000. We're getting close. But this is God's house. And God did it. We had churches contact, Coy contact me and said, listen, how much did y'all build that building for? We want to know so we can build one. I said, you can't. You won't tell us? I said, no, you'll have to talk to God about that. Because God's the one that built this building, not us. Again and again and again and again. These walls were done by volunteers. The walls here, I had a friend in Texas. I called and I said, listen, we need someone to come and do sheetrock finishing and painting. And the guy said, okay, we can do that. Two guys showed up. One Hispanic guy who didn't know a whole lot about sheetrock, and one 82-year-old man that the man sent his son, or sent his dad. I looked at him and said, what are we going to do? I got an 82-year-old guy and one guy that doesn't really know much about sheetrock. That 82-year-old man taped and bedded this building in 1 week. That 82-year-old man came back and shot the texture in this building in another week. And then he said, what are you going to do about painting? And he said, well, we don't know yet. We're going to get some bids. And we had bids, Coy, what was it? $32,000 to paint it. And the guy said, I tell you what, if you'll buy a airless sprayer, we'll paint that building for free. Let me think about that for a minute. So we went and bought an $800, I think, airless sprayer, and they painted this whole building, three coats in a week, this whole building. I mean, God just kept on going and doing and doing. That's why I look forward to seeing what God's going to do, because God built this house. God built this house. And not only did God build this house, God is building people in this house. He came back and he says, Gaius, I pray you may prosper in every way and be in good health as your soul prospers. What a prayer. And I pray that for each one of you, that your soul may prosper and you will be in good health. That God will bless you and God will take care of you and God will move you forward. I don't know what I'm going to do going forward. I know it's a repurpose. It's not a retire. We're just going to see what God does. God is going to move us and do whatever he wants to do with us. It's going to be tough finding a church like this. A singing church, a praising church, a worshiping church, a Baptist-costal church. Right? Amen. But we know God is going to bless and God is going to do work here. But the only way that's going to happen is if that God's people step up. God's people remain faithful. God's people continue to serve him. God's people continue to support and help this church be all that it needs to be. If you don't know what to do, ask somebody. There's plenty to do. Plenty of work that needs to be done in all things. I want to give you a charge, not on a credit card, but I want to give you a charge in my closing days. I charge you as pastor of this church that if you ever hear another member speak an unkind word of criticism or slander against anyone else, myself, another pastor, an usher, a choir member, or anyone else, you have authority to stop that person mid-sentence and say, "Excuse me, who hurt you? Who ignored you? Who slighted you? Was it our pastor? Let's go to his office right now. He will get on his knees and apologize to you, and then we'll pray together so God can restore peace to this body, because we will not let you talk critically about people who are not present to defend themselves. Let's stand together." And when your new pastor comes in, he's going to be different. He'll probably have hair. He may preach different. He may sing different. Whatever he does, support, strengthen. Don't let anyone put him down, because God is at work, and don't let the devil stop his work in anything that takes place, in anything that happens. My voice is about gone. That's one reason I'm having to move on. When the music fades into the past, when my days of life are through, what will be remembered of where I've come, when all is said and done? Well, they say I love my family, and I was a faithful friend, and I lived to tell of God's own love, when all is said and done. How long to see the hour I would hear that trumpet sound, like to see my Savior's face, see him smile and say, "Well done." You can forgive my name and the songs I've sung, every rhyme and every tune, but remember the truth of Jesus' love, when all is said and done, when all is said and done. Father, I pray you bless these people. Lord, I pray that you rise up and make them strong. And that, Lord, that you take them to places that's amazing as this church continues to shine the light of Christ in this community. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you do. Amen.